Welcome to Hello Chaos, the weekly podcast exploring the messy and chaotic lives and minds of founders and entrepreneurs. Today we have Michelle Harris, CEO and Controller of Chaos at Karst. I love that title. Thank you for coming on to our podcast and chatting with us today, Michelle. How are you doing?
I'm good. You're welcome. Happy to be here.
Oh, great. So, tell us about how did you get started? How did your entrepreneurial journey begin?
You know, honestly, it was kind of by accident. It wasn't intentional at all. I was on a completely different creative track in the music industry.
Wow.
And my dad had this company. I kind of moved back home away from Nashville, and it was, I was just kind of finding my footing. Okay, what am I going to do in Charleston now? And he had a creative company versus my mom, who had a more professional. She owned an employment agency. I was like, you know, this is kind of cool. I'll go do this for a little bit till I figure out where I'm going to be. And he had a one man show, just doing your typical, promotional product distributor. And, I slowly transitioned that into something that was my own, and kind of found that I liked being an entrepreneur, and that was something that's not what I set out to do.
Yeah. Yeah. Me neither. I call myself a serendipitous entrepreneur. Of it just happened to evolve.
Yeah.
The opportunity.
Very much.
So, you know, you take over. So what is Karst? You say you're the controller of chaos, by the way. I love that. I love that. I need to have something more fun than just CEO of, because we do so many things. So how did you get?
Yeah,
did you come up with like the controller of chaos? I love that.
We have a very fun culture and a very fun team, and this is a very fun industry, and mm-hmm. so we just are very playful in a lot of the things that we do. So we all have like our project assistant. She's a project wrangler. We just all have a fun title, and they felt like that really fit for me, especially.
Right. Well, people always have like our, you know, the podcast is Hello Chaos, because when we came up with the name, so many founders and entrepreneurs really responded to that name to go, oh yeah, we sit in chaos, or we welcome it. We've got to attack it. We live in chaos a lot of the time. So
we live in it. Yep.
We live in it. That's right. What have you discovered about yourself during your journey? Here you left Nashville, which is fascinating that you were in the music industry, going back to Charleston, and kind of entering into this entrepreneurial space. What did you discover about yourself?
I discovered that I really like being a leader more than I thought I ever would. It's a struggle for me. I'm an extrovert when I want to be, but yeah. Introvert most of the time I want to be, you know, I'm that person that makes plans, and then I'm cussing when I got to go, you know?
Yeah. 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 Or you get invited to things and you're like, oh my God, I need to be there. Okay. I got to pump myself up. I got to like,
yeah,
get in the mode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have to force myself. And then I'm so glad that I did.
Yeah.
I never really regret it, but it takes a lot of effort to get me out the door.
So we've heard a couple of terms, like I'm the same way. People think I'm an extrovert, but I'm not. It drains. Like I have to put myself up, or I've had to teach myself to network, because it's not something that comes natural to me. Like I have to go and this is my little elevator speech, or this is the three questions I like to ask people. I feel like I'm more programmatic, but we've heard a couple of terms of ambivert is a term that we've heard from other founders who are like, I'm not an extrovert, but I have to be an extrovert. I'm really an introvert. I feel like that's become a theme a lot that we hear. And somebody else was like, which I love that term. What was it? A learned extrovert.
Extrovert. Yeah.
A learned one. I was like, oh yeah, that is probably describes me.
Yeah, 100%. I would say it's brought me some advantages though too, because from a sales perspective,
yeah,
I've never been that salesy person. So I lead with just want to have relationships and help people, and people gravitate towards that. So
yeah.
I don't
it's
know.
More authentic, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's just my personality. I'm not that person that's forward and out front. But when I have to be, I think it comes across more genuine because it is.
So what are some tips that you've had to do, or what are things that you like, rituals or disciplines that you're like, okay, I got to go to this event, or I've got to go do this. Do you have like a, like what I was talking about, I'm like, I have to like think through what I need to do to come across as more of an extrovert. Do you do anything like that?
I don't really have a strategy around it. I try to learn what I can about the event, like who's going to be there, what kind of space, or am I dressing appropriately? I just try to be prepared so that I'm not kind of thrown off by what I'm going to, but it's more for me about just not kind of chickening out.
Yeah, like just showing
Yeah.
up. Yeah.
Yeah. Once I show up, I'm good.
Yeah, that's, I'm the same way. It's like once I get there, I'm like, okay. And then when I leave, I'm like, okay, I need to go. I need a timeout for myself.
Yeah, it's nice to hear
Recharge.
that other people have that issue too, because you see all the other people in the room and you assume that they don't.
I know. And and there are some, like I said, very natural extroverts, founders and entrepreneurs that just like, I admire. I'm like, God, you really know how to work a room. I don't know how to do that. I've tried to teach myself the last couple of years. Like I said, I'm like, okay, I need to go. This is what I've seen other people do. And this is where we heard from another founder of like, you have to be a learned extrovert of what's that programming? 'Cause I'm amazed when I go and watch people like work the room, or listening to them and how they sell and approach, and not really sell, but more of just like building the relationships. And I'm like, oh my God, I don't, that just is, it is not natural for me. And but I've worked on that over the last couple of years. This podcast I started this couple of years ago was really kind of a default to like, oh, I like having conversations. It kind of gets me out of my comfort zone. And I really love the podcast. Maybe it's because I'm sitting in a studio by myself, but I like it. It's relationships and just learning about people. And I think in my own way, right?
Yep.
So what have you found has been the most challenging? So, you kind of entered this, you're a CEO, you're a leader, you've grown this company. What's been the most challenging aspect?
I would say for me, it's been people. I have learned kind of the hard way that that's our best asset. That's
Yeah.
the way to scale, that's the way to grow. We've kind of attacked it from all angles, just like everyone else does, with
Yeah.
processes and things and vision. And we're really streamlining that here lately, going through EOS. I don't know if
Oh,
you're familiar
yeah.
with that process, but we're
Very much so.
going
Yeah.
through that process and implementing that. And that has just kind of made me understand even more so how our people are really our biggest asset.
We're in the
When I
people business.
transitioned, yeah, when I transitioned from hiring for skill versus personality, that was a big switch for me.
So
Hiring,
for personality or hiring,
yes,
yeah.
versus skill.
Yeah. That was our, I would say an aha for me a few years ago of finding the right fit from an attitude personality of, we can teach skill for the most part. There's some things a part of our business that we do need some good skills, but it's really attitude. They've got to have the right personality traits. It forced us, I don't know if you had to do this. Well, with EOS, you probably, but to really uncover what are your values, and what are the type of people you need to be looking for? What characteristics and traits embody all that? I mean, did you,
Right.
because EOS forces you to, like, you've got to
Well, it's
do that
forced us,
discovery.
right, but that's been very recent. So I kind of was forced into discovering all that the hard way. And then once you do hire a few people that really do care And they really do have the loyalty, and they really are in it to build and grow with you and kind of do whatever's needed and plug whatever holes are there. That's when you kind of see the difference in what you did have and what you have now, and then you try to replicate that.
That's right. And it's, I've talked about this with some other founders too. It's amazing when you bring that energy in to your team of it's not rocket like. It's like you just need people that give a shit, like care. I mean, you're the Orange Whip, is a media company, but I own a marketing firm, so it's in the, similar businesses as what Karst is. And we've got clients that we have to serve. And what we found is like, if you don't give a shit about the clients, that's like the number, like you've got to care. And then you've also got to care about your teammates and then have some personal integrity of like, don't you care about your work? And people think, oh, well, that should be an easy hire. I'm like, no, that is not an easy hire.
No, it's not.
But it's amazing when you do get those right people, the energy that happens on the team. And because on the reverse side, when you have people that don't care, or it drains the energy out of the room, and it makes everybody's life harder.
Yep. And I have been the worst at fire slow, fire fast.
I know they tell you like, but it's, but you also want to go, I mean, I've had our coaches go, Trevor, you knew within 30 days. And it's like, right, you knew within 90 days. I'm like, yeah, but maybe I can get them to like, and then it's like, you know what? No, we've been patient long enough. But that's the hardest part, especially when they're good people. They're just not a good fit. They don't have that drive. They don't have that, and it has nothing to do with skill set. It's just a lot of it is it's the personality.
And I've been fortunate to find a few, kind of the world sent them to me. I didn't have EOS, I didn't have my visions, I didn't have my value, I didn't have it all lined out so that I could hire correctly. But when you find those few and you realize how it doesn't have to be that hard. You just need to find more of them. It doesn't have to be such a struggle. So it really
So
is about the people for us.
it is so much so. How what have you done to like find it? Like, have you put a changed your interview process or how you recruit? Have you done anything differently from that aspect or?
First of all, I'm not doing it anymore. That's helped.
You're like, we'll delegate that.
Someone else on our team that is much more just great at that, about finding people and having the conversations and being structured and being a little bit harder in what she's asking, and kind of her approach, she's testing from every interaction. So when she puts it out there, she's texting people to get the phone call and seeing who responds fastest and how they respond, and when they send a resume in, did they title it, or is it just, some random? So all these little details are things that she's paying attention to that are important to us in our daily, communication skills, organization skills,
That's
but
right.
things that I wouldn't have thought to really pay attention to, especially at that stage. So that's been helpful, just her approach, and she's found us some great people.
It is amazing. We implemented what was it about a couple years ago? We changed our interview process because we recognized very similar, like we're bringing people in that just, we need to weed out those that just don't have it. They're not a good fit. How do we test for that? So it was, we changed our process to be like a 4-step interview stage process, because it's like if you can get through, we see you really want to work for us. We're just not a job that you're just looking to fill. So that was kind of the weed out we put in. And I'm going to give this tip for, I mean, you're hitting it, but a lot of founders, entrepreneurs, companies need to put these things in place, especially for our businesses that are marketing and communication and have clients, like if you care about how people communicate, written or phone or whatever, you know, we had to put in little, you know, you need to send your, we implemented like homework, because we wanted to see, it wasn't necessarily the answers. It was how they thought and how they could communicate in writing, mm-hmm. And in a structure format, to see if they could follow directions. So even just like, this is what we need you to do next step. And we had, you know, very similar of like, did they send to this email that we instructed? We had so many that didn't, or never filled out the homework, or, I mean, it just weeded out. We couldn't get people to like the stage two, and it self weeded.
Yeah, exactly.
We're like, you know what? It's like it was a great first interview, but they couldn't even get to the step two. They didn't want it. They're not a good fit. And, you know, we needed to be more unapologetic for having those processes it's a lot, it's very time consuming and energy draining when you have the wrong people. Yeah.
Yeah. We don't have it structured as much as you do, like step one, step two, but there's all different touch points as far as different types of communication. Like I said, she'll initially reach out by text to see how quickly we get a response, what that looks like.
So
then there's an email asking a few different questions. And, you know, if we get the big long paragraph back versus the person that sends like the bulleted list, that's like, okay, check, you know, very organized and straight to the point. And then there's
capitalization
face
and periods.
Or more recently, very clear AI. It's like that they didn't even modify to be their own.
Well,
we've seen some of that.
Yeah, I believe it. You know, it's interesting. Like I talked to another founder, and the reason why we implement, because we heard that from a couple years ago from a smaller firm here in the Upstate, and they're very specialized, and you know, and they're a PR firm, and you know, she was struggling with, I guess, or feeling guilty. Maybe she was missing out on good candidates. Because she posted something on LinkedIn. They had over 300 inquiries, but they only had 5 that actually followed the instructions. And she was like, oh, some of the ones that sent, you know, these were amazing, amazing resumes and amazing, you know, bios, and they would have been great team members. But she was like, but they didn't follow the instructions. And I was like, well, you put those rules in place, you know, but they found really much better candidates, by sticking to what their rules were. So I think that's just like all founders, business owners out there, like can't stress enough of stick to those rules. It will work out. Right. Cause you're going to self weed.
Yep. 100%.
Okay. If you had to sum up your journey in one word, what do you think your word would be?
I would say gratifying.
Ah, why? What's been
just
gratifying?
Seeing my journey, just seeing the company grow. It started out as my dad's company, and then I'm able to still be here, you know, through the economy, through COVID, and still thriving and growing. That's been awesome to see, and to see a team that's growing with me, and they're able to, you know, have their own successes because of their job and our freedoms, where most of us are moms. So being able to have the flexibilities and still have great incomes and jobs, and kind of, we don't always have the best balance, but that's what we strive for.
Everything's aspirational, right? About our brand.
Yeah. So the fact that I'm able to do that for myself, but also other people, has been awesome.
Ah, I love that word. And I don't think we've had that word. Yeah. We've like almost 1,000 interviews. It's a different word every time. That's why I love asking it.
It's awesome.
And we all have like very, you know, a lot of similarities in the journey, but we all choose kind of our own word and how we define it. So I love success yours. Gratifying. Yeah.
Yeah. Success is different for everybody.
For everybody. That's right. So were there any myths or misperceptions you had about kind of running a company, scaling a company, kind of being that leader that you're like, oh no, this is not what I thought it was going to be?
I mean, I think people from the outside looking in think it's just easy. That you run the business, you know, you have all the time in the world. Everybody does everything for you. You have all the money.
Yeah, that is not true.
The opposite.
That's right.
So I think anyone on the outside looking in, you know, even if I speak to friends that don't own businesses, they don't completely get it. So the fact that you do things like this and other groups are out there to kind of have a sounding board and a place for entrepreneurs and owners, because it is a lonely place sometimes, because not everyone understands it.
That's but right.
That's the misconception, is that you're kind of like at the top and you're the top dog and all the things are just happening.
It's like happening. You're you know, you've got all the freedom, and it's like, yeah, it's that's the goal. Like, what do I want? I want financial freedom, to be able to make decisions for hiring or invest in, you know, expansion, or freedom to basically, you know, take a couple weeks for a vacation and not have to freak out, you know, and that would be the ultimate, the freedom. But it's interesting. I don't know if you went through this, Michelle, as you started getting into that, like my friend circle they didn't understand. You know, they're like, okay, we can tell something's going on, you're stressed. And then when they're like, we don't get it. So I had to like contain. I've got my friends from high school, college, you know, growing up, but I can't really share a lot of stuff with them. And I've had to really form a different kind of, I call it, you know, founder, CEO, peer community, basically not to feel so isolated. I needed a sounding board. I didn't like the feeling, like of feeling completely alone and crazy, and needed support of, am I making the right decisions? Have I not thought through something when I run into a challenge? Because my colleagues that I grew up in the agency world, who were still working for agencies, were not helpful. They could not relate. I don't know if you went through that, like dealing with different and having to form a different circle, a community for yourself.
Yeah, I think part of the, back to the introvert.
Yeah.
I think I was going through that, but it didn't really bother me because I keep everything here anyway. But more recently, I've kind of found that tribe of entrepreneurs, and I'm seeing the value in having the sounding board and having the other perspectives and the help. But I definitely felt and saw, you know, that you just don't share with those other groups of people because, you know, they don't really understand, and you don't want to be the downer, and you don't, so you just keep it. You don't really, you know, you're talking about something else. So but that didn't really, I didn't see that.
Great.
Yeah, I didn't really see that as a negative. I don't think I really recognized it until I had the opportunity to kind of have the other side of it. I was like, okay, this is awesome.
That was a big aha for me in 2018 when I found that tribe. I didn't know that I was missing it, or didn't realize that gap until you were able to express. And I'm like, oh my God, this feels like, I'm so thirsty for this. It feels good. Yeah. So what have you found, like, what have you discovered about yourself in your journey that was like an aha for you about like yourself personally?
That I'm capable. I'm being more introvert, quieter person, didn't always have the biggest confidence to kind of go out and do big things or do things, but I've had a lot of people behind me that are just like, just do it. do it. And I've realized very recently, and I feel like kind of not too late, but I wish I would have figured it out earlier, that I'm just not scared. I'm just gonna freaking do it. And if it doesn't land, if it's, then we'll just deal with it.
That's right.
So I think that my hesitation for a long time, just because I'm more on the quieter side and didn't have the confidence to kind of think that I was that person,
You are that
is
person. Yeah.
quickly going away. But
Yeah.
I still
I know.
struggle with it.
I
It's like I
know.
got to force myself to go to that meeting. Well, I got to force myself to do that too.
That's
But
right.
I'm less fearful. So
Ah,
that's
so becoming more of a fearless leader.
a little bit,
Yeah.
little bit.
A little bit like, hey, it's baby steps, baby steps.
Yeah.
What do you think is the biggest aha for you, like as you run in the business?
Running the business,
Yeah.
a big aha for me was I took this over from my dad, not knowing the industry, not really knowing, just kind of threw myself into it, like, oh, I'll go sell something. Like, that's literally how I came into it. And he had to abruptly leave for some health problems, which he came back and was fine. But by the time he came back, I had changed so many things that he was like, I think you got this. And he left me with it. And
Oh,
so,
that's so wonderful.
yeah, I operated just kind of the way that I knew for, I don't know, probably 6, 8 years. And then I found kind of my tribe within our industry. I want to say like the cool kids.
Yeah.
And I realized that the way that I was operating was a novel way to approach what I was doing in this industry. So that
That's
was
fantastic.
very much an aha moment because I realized that I was already one of them and didn't know it. And I was already doing things differently and didn't know it. And
Yeah.
so that's what we've really kind of expanded on and scaled and what has made us different
Yeah.
because we're approaching this kind of commoditized industry in a much different way that makes it have a lot more value and significance for our clients.
And I think that's a good lesson for, like, as a marketing person and a branding, it's like everybody, even if you're in an industry that has a sea of, like the commoditized, you're approaching it differently. There is some uniqueness that you've got to uncover. And the fact that you kind of uncovered it as like an aha of like, oh shit, serendipitously, you
Yeah.
were like, we were doing it differently, but the fact that you could go and that's relevant and that's meaningful. Because we talk to companies that are like, I don't do anything. Like, I'm just selling product. It's like, but you'd be more valuable if you thought about your brand in a way that's unique. Because everybody approaches it. There's got to be something,
Yeah.
a part of that. So I love that. That's a good, that's a good celebration moment.
Yeah, it was definitely eye-opening and I was like, we need to be putting this out there and marketing this that we're
Yeah.
not the guy down the street. So
That's right.
that was big for us.
And give you guys that confidence, that little boost of we are the cool kids. We're setting the trends.
Yeah. So now that's become a little more commonplace, but it was nice to see it when no one else was doing it.
That's right. What about what was your biggest oh shit? Like where like where you hit a wall or you were like, oh, a big challenge. What was the biggest oh shit moment and how'd you overcome it?
I've been really lucky. I want to say maybe it was COVID or maybe it was, losing a large client. But I've been really conservative in the way that we have kind of scaled and spread things that I'm happy to say that I haven't had like a big,
Like a
we've had some,
disaster or anything, yeah.
yeah, we've had some near ones where, a client relationship might go south, but we were able to salvage it.
Yeah.
Or, we were able to fix it. So I don't know that I've had just this massive oh shit moment that like really affected us long term.
Yeah. And it might be just your how you approach things of I'm just watching you going. If you did, you would just go, okay, well, we're just gonna fix it. We're just gonna address
Just gonna
it.
figure it out.
We'll figure it out.
That's the hope.
if you could change two things about your business today, like right off the bat, two things, what would you change?
I would change that I didn't make some of the growth and the changes that I've made in the last 2 years. I wish I would have started some of these tracks that I'm on 15 years ago. You know, hindsight.
Yeah, hindsight is always
So
20/20.
I stayed small intentionally and had kids and kind of, you know, grew
Yeah.
family and I often look back and say, okay, I could go left or right, and I chose right. What if I had just pushed through and done left then?
Yeah.
So that's one thing that I would probably, if I could rewind.
Rewind, you would do that. Yeah, I've often thought like, oh, I wish I could go back and redo that meeting. Or yeah, it's hindsight is always 20/20. So if we met a year from now, I came down to Charleston and I took you out for cocktails, what would we be celebrating?
We would be celebrating. There's so much we're going to celebrate.
Oh, well, let's manifest it. Let's roll it off. Let's have multiple shot. It'll be a shot, shot, shot.
We just moved into a new facility, so we're working on a new office. I think we'd be celebrating here. It would be all complete,
Oh,
and
nice.
we would have doubled our business. How about that?
There we go. Well, let's manifest that. Double the size, celebrate the new facility, all moved in. All right, we'll make a date. We'll share some cocktails. What's the best advice that you've been given? I mean, from your dad or mentor, like you said, you found your tribe. What advice that you've been given that you've really taken to heart and have applied to your own business?
That's a tough one too. I'll probably answer this and come up with something better in a little bit. But you know, something always stuck with me. My mom also owned her own company.
Yeah.
And one day she said to me, she said, "You never want to have cash cow." So you never, you know, when things are going great, you're pulling out and you're doing all this fun stuff. She's like, "You never want to have cash cow." And that one statement just stuck with me to always be trying to be conservative, to put back in, to build, to grow. So there have been a lot of, you know, when things are flowing and there's a lot to spare, you know, it's so easy to kind of pull out and do this or you know, kind of take advantage of that. But
Right.
her recommendation and her just that one statement stuck with me, and it's been super helpful because when things are leaner and
Yeah.
you have approached it from that, then you're not having those oh shit moments.
Right. Because then you've got that little pool that you can, yeah. Oh no, that's great. Now, do you ever get stressed or, you know, is there do you balance well? Like this is something that's been my kind of my growth journey of the last couple of years. I've tried to work on my mental health, but also getting just trying to approach a healthier lifestyle. Is there, because it's stressful, like you know, being running a business. Are you, do you find, do you have good balance? Do you have a routine or disciplines that you?
I try to maintain that, but I'm also the person that wants to get back to the client, that wants to do all the things, that's
Yeah.
struggling to delegate. So, and I have two kids, one that's small.
Oh.
So that kind of is a constant push and pull. You know, I'm
Yeah.
never in the right spot. I always need to be in the other one. So
And feel
I try to
guilty.
have,
Whichever,
yeah,
wherever you go, it's that guilt.
whichever one I'm at, I need to be in the other one. So there needs
Yeah.
to be two of me. So I would say that I don't have the best balance, but I'm always working on that. Like I
Yeah.
want to be present for them. So that's the huge motivator, right? Is that I don't work 24/7 because of them. So as far as stress, it's, you know, control of chaos. It's stressful. But I'm pretty good at like keeping that pretty level for the most part. It rears its head sometimes. And
Yeah.
but that's the reason for all these things that we're putting in place is the EOS and the processes so that we can have some, so we all can have more balance, more clarity, more
That's right.
help,
More
and have.
processes. It's kind of that, get those automations in. You said that it's new to you. EOS is, how far are you guys in?
And
Yeah.
so I read the book. It was recommended to me like 3 times within about 3 months. And so 6 months later, I started the book. But I read it and I was like, this makes a
Makes
ton
a
of sense.
lot of
This is
sense.
what we need. This is what we have needed. So we started to try to self-implement a few months ago.
Yeah.
And there's just so much going on. Like it wasn't very efficient. So we just signed on with a formal implementer, and we're at the beginning stages, but already we're seeing like the light at the end of the tunnel. It feels more chaotic, like you've got to make a mess to clean up kind of thing,
Right.
but it's going to be a good thing for sure. But we're
Yeah.
in the beginning stages.
Will you change your title?
You know, I thought about that. I'm like, well, that really, maybe that won't apply. That would be a great thing if it doesn't apply.
That's right. Work yourself out of the controller of chaos title. You'll be the controller of calm. How's that?
Works for me. But I'm also the visionary, so I'm going to make the chaos. They've got to all pull
Yeah.
me down.
'Cause you always got to keep inventing and, keep growing and
Yep.
scaling.
I'm the cause of a lot of the chaos.
I think we all are, right? It's like we can't stop thinking. Oh, well, this has been fascinating. I love this. Okay, you have two kids, and you're growing and scaling. What advice would you give to another founder? Like, what would be your best advice that you would give?
I would say to find that tribe quick because you don't know what you don't know.
That's
And
right.
I'm constantly learning, growing. Like I'm constantly trying to suck in anything and everything that I can. And that doesn't always come from,
It's not
reading
coming from
something
books,
or a
no.
book. Yeah. So knowing people that have been through it and gotten to where you want to be or on their way or maybe went a completely different direction. You can learn so much from that. So
That's
I would
right.
say, don't stay siloed. I stayed
Yeah.
siloed way too long. So.
I'm gonna echo that. If I could hit rewind, I think that's what I would, my biggest thing would be. I wish I would have found the tribe 10 plus years ago when I started the company, like right off the bat. And I was even intimidated when I look back, like not even to go into the small business the center. Like that intimidated me of I don't belong there. They're not going to give me advice. That's just for other businesses. That's not really for startup. And it's like, oh my gosh, I wish I would have had more confidence to just or to go grab coffee with people
Yeah.
and find the tribe. 'Cause once you kind of find it, you realize from a founder and owner, entrepreneur community, we're pretty giving of our time. I have found there is like I know I do that if somebody calls or sends me an email, I will have coffee, cocktails, lunch with, I give my time to anybody that needs it. And I found that we all seem to have that similar trait of
Yeah.
the connections and the community. So,
And
yeah.
I think if you can, you are who you spend time with sometimes. So if you can elevate the people that
Your
you're
circle.
looking, yeah,
Yeah.
that elevates you. And also within your industry, there's always so many, at least within ours, there's so much contention. Oh, you're a competitor.
Yeah.
I'm not, they're not going to help. Once I found the people that actually got it, like I did, there is none of that within that circle of people.
That's
And it's
right.
a really cool thing to see. So I would say search that out within your industry because there are people that will help you. There are people
That's
that will be
right.
your friends. They won't look at you as a competitor. Like
Right.
there's enough for
There's
everybody.
enough for everybody. I can't echo because I've had people, other friends are like, oh, I don't want my competitors to come to this event. I was like, why? Like, we're not enemies. We can all learn from, like, we all have our space. So yeah, I'm in that same mindset of like, not just like you're gonna disclose your P&Ls, but to have a friendly, conversation, camaraderie, networking, community. We all benefit from
And
those
they're out
bond
there.
experience, and
They
they're
may
out
not
there.
all have that mindset, Rome won't have that
Well,
mindset.
that's true.
So those are the ones that don't come.
That's right.
But the ones that do, that, are there for each other. Those
That's
are
right.
your people.
Those are your people. That's right. Oh, well, I love this. I'm always amazed how fast these goes. We're already out of time. Before we leave, though, Michelle, tell people how can they get a hold of you, connect with you, learn more about Karst, and the things that you guys offer your clients. How do you want
Sure.
people to connect?
Sure. Our website's a great spot, karstpromo.com. Instagram,
And that's KARST.
promo,
Promo.
promo.com. Yep.
Perfect. Perfect. And so we'll.
Instagram, email. I'd love to chat with anybody and kind of show off what we can do.
Perfect. Well, we will tag you and the company as we publish this episode. Appreciate you hanging out with us today. This was
Yeah, thank you.
fantastic.
Thanks for
Good
having me.
to our pleasure. And for our listeners, thanks for hanging out with us today as well. This podcast episode, again, is available on all podcast platforms. So subscribe to Hello Chaos. Give us a like, a comment, a share, and a great review. Help us grow and build a more connected entrepreneurial community. Hello Chaos is one of the many resources brought to you by Orange Whip. That is Orange Whip, WIP for work in progress, because that's what we all are. Orange Whip is a multimedia company dedicated to serving founders and entrepreneurs in affiliate cities. We are in three South Carolina cities today, looking to expand to other cities and markets because every city needs an Orange Whip. We are a one-stop content hub just for founders, delivered in an innovative digital zine experience. If you like to be a guest on our podcast, please or you want to support us, please send us an email to hello@orangewhip.com. Y'all, thank you for tuning in to Hello Chaos. It is where aha meets oh shit. And I'm your host, Jennifer Sutton. We'll see you again next week.